but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
It's the little things that matter. Steven, what are we listening to here?
We got a little Tyler Childers for Dave Lanning. I remember back last year he said that was his guy. So
we do the little things right, right? It's about little things. The big things take care of themselves. Dan Lanning, Oregon football coach, joining us now. How about that? We pay attention.
I love it, man. Appreciate you, brother. Can I say something real quick?
Yeah, go.
There is nothing better than me hearing you do an advanced hair commercial right before we come in.
I know.
It's like, wait a minute. This is awesome. This is fantastic.
My heart just dropped when I heard it, and I said, he's going to bring it up. He's going to razz me about it. I know it's coming. I almost asked what spots are in the
commercials.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, first week of school for our kids here. Have your kids started school yet? Are they in yet?
No. What the heck is going on? These guys get the longest summer known to man. Like, no. They're still at home. It's wild.
Okay, so for people who don't know, Dan Lanning's mother, Janice, taught English and language arts. His dad was a science teacher, middle school science teacher. You were, for a blink, a PE teacher. When school goes back, you must have incredible empathy for the teachers that are out there and just love teachers.
I do love teachers. Grew up in a home full of them and got a lot of appreciation for what they do, the work they do, and how much influence they have on our kids.
Were you a fun PE teacher, or what were you like?
I mean, let's be honest. For every grade school, like the PE teacher is the coolest guy in the building. Like, that's the most fun. There's nobody having more fun. I felt bad for the other teachers that had to, like, teach other things, right? Like, they don't get to have near as much fun as we had in PE.
I love that. Dan Lanning is with us. Do you have a favorite teacher that you want to call out right now growing up? Because I do it all the time. I'll talk about my sixth grade teacher was awesome. He had animals in the classroom. He had, like, snakes and rats and turtles in the back of the room. Do you have a teacher that you just loved?
Oh, man, I had a lot of great ones. Ken Simmons was my PE teacher in middle school. He was unbelievable. Gail Wheat, Gail Mullen now. I mean, she was awesome for me. That was my second grade teacher. Kara Bowers, my third grade teacher. I mean, I had a lot of great teachers, man. I had some really good ones.
Did you have to really behave yourself because your parents would probably come in for the conference and maybe they probably knew the teacher, or at least the teacher to teacher, there's a respect there?
Well, so my parents taught in another school district, but and I was kind of honoring, you know, but they knew that.
Right.
You know, so, but I tried to be, you know, somewhat well-behaved.
I love it. What do you see on film when you look at Montana State?
Man, good team. You know, there's a reason these guys have played for two national championships the last, you know, in the last 4 years. And obviously really well coached, good scheme on both sides of the ball. They don't really tip their hand on defense. They do a lot of different things. Offense, there's going to be some change. They brought in a new offensive coordinator from Colorado School of Mines. So it's a little bit of absorbing what they've done in the past because they have, you know, a lot of coaches back from that staff that was there, but they've also some coaches have transitioned. So they're going to be something new over there on that side of the ball for sure. But you see a team that's coached really well, that wins in special teams play. You can tell every detail's hit.
I think that, you know, you get movement with players and then you get movement with coaches. And you can go down a rabbit hole kind of looking at, like, you know, like Nick Rolovich is a consultant at Cal and Brian Harsin's at Cal, and you try to figure out what they're going to do. Week one becomes really interesting for that reason, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's tough to know exactly where anybody's going to be. And the other part that you miss is we didn't get to watch all of fall camp of their team, and they're evaluating their team's strengths. And I'd like to think that we would look different based on what our team does really well you know, year in and year out, and what we're not as good at, like, we're going to adapt to our personnel. And I think great coaches do that.
I remember Pat Hill when he was at Fresno State. I'd watch all practice, and I'd be there all practice, and they're doing 7-on-7 or whatnot. I'd kind of watch, and I think David Carr was the quarterback at the time, and I thought, gosh, it's neat to be able to see this. If I could let you take a peek into an opponent's practice, and you can only watch like 5 or 10 minutes, what session or what part of the practice do you want to see?
Team run. Yeah, I want to see team run. I want to see how they stop the run and what the run plan is.
You can control that. You got the game controlled, can't you? I mean, it's that simple, isn't it?
Well, it certainly matters for Montana State. You know, they've been the FCS leader in rushing yards. They've been really good at stopping the run as well. And you know, when they outrush their opponent, they generally win. So that's been definitely a weapon for them, but that, it kind of holds true in football.
All right. You have a kid. I think last season we talked about one of your kids is a band member. I think it's your oldest. Is he still playing? Is he still playing?
Yes, he's been doing band camp. They kind of get out there and grind it out in fall camp, kind of like we do. They go out there and they're walking up and down the field and playing their instruments and getting in formation. So it's going good.
That's a whole culture, isn't it? And it's kind of like, you know, when you – my oldest daughter played volleyball. I had no idea what was going on in that world until I was in it. But there are people who are just so into the band. I've heard football fans who will come to the games, and they're there to watch the band. Like you know, football is great, but I'm here to see, you know, the Ohio State band or the Oregon band or what – and they talk about the bands like we talk about football teams.
Well, I love that. As many people as we can get at our games, I'm all for it.
Do you have a new appreciation for the marching band after having a band kid?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never, I guess, really thought about it. I mean, I love that my son's doing band and really enjoys it, for sure.
Let's say,
appreciate the work that goes into it.
Let's say you're still coaching at Oregon, and he ends up in the marching band at Oregon. Do you peek out at halftime to see what's going on, or do you wait for Sophia to take video and tell you about it?
Yeah, I'll watch the video after the game, right? It's important that we go take care of it. I got to do my job.
Right.
But if they're ever performing outside of Oregon football, I'll definitely try to be there and watch.
I think people make too much of it. Sometimes they always want to know, like, if the coach is there or not. But that would be a quick way for you to get in trouble. Like, if you aren't playing well, and they're like, Dan Lanning was watching his kid play band at halftime when he should have been coaching. Like, that, you know, that I think sometimes too much gets made of that stuff. But I guess that's part of the job. How early are you getting to the office on that note?
Not crazy. No, we've been operating, you know, pretty smooth lately. So it's, and again, week one's a little bit different than week three. Like, we've been looking at Montana State here for a while. So,
right.
Normal procedure, a little after six, sometimes a little before. Depends on the day. But, it's been smooth operating.
Did you ever work at a place where there was, like, this competition between assistants to see who got there earliest or who stayed the latest or badge of honor stuff?
I've definitely been that guy. I've been the guy that tried to be the first one there. And I remember when I was a GA for Coach Graham, I always tried to make sure I beat him in the office. And if any of the lights were on, that was a frustration because it meant somebody maybe beat me up there.
Dan Lanning with us, Oregon coach. On Media Day, I asked you about the quarterbacks, and I said, what are you looking for? And you said, you know, as they go through the progression, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if one's there, I want them to take it. Can you help go deeper on that? Like, you know, what are you talking about when, you know, a quarterback's going through his progressions, and what are you looking for?
Yeah, there's a lot of different reads for a quarterback, and there's a lot of different concepts. Some concepts are half-field concepts. Some concepts are what we call progression reads. Normally when you work like a half-field concept, you might have a man beater to one side of the field and a zone beater to the other side of the field. So if we identify that it's zone, I want them to start on the zone side, and I want them to take their high-low or whatever they're looking for. If we identify that it's man, I want them to, you know, start their eyes to the man side, right, take their winner in man-to-man and go there. And then there's some routes that might be progression reads where the first route's the shallow cross and the next route's the, back to the flat and the next route's the dig, you know, and go through that progression. But I think the key is if you start with one and one's open, throw them the ball.
I like that. Dan Lanning with us, Oregon football coach. The the work that you do probably never stops, but is there a point with pregame and everything where you're just kind of ready to see your guys play, see how they react, and get busy coaching?
I'm ready for that moment now, but we are definitely one of those teams that say the hay is never in the barn, right? That was always a phrase that I've heard a lot in coaching. Like, guys get out the football field at Thursday and they say, all right, well, the game plan's in. Now we just got to go execute. And in our mind, we're going to prepare until we walk out the door, right there before kickoff. So giving tips and reminders to our players right before. But I'm anxious to see these guys go out and compete for sure.
I've talked a lot about the demands of coaching. I think you and I talked about it at Media Day, that the job has changed. It's never ending. There's no room. Look at your phone. Look at how many calls you've missed, whatnot. Mark Cuban, who you know from Shark Tank and the world of entrepreneurs, I asked him one time, you know, hey, come on the show, and I emailed with him a little bit, and he said no. And I said, why'd you say no? And he said, I'm saying no to everything right now because I get asked all day long for things, and I got to focus on what's good for me. Are you better at saying no that now than maybe 3 years ago when you took the job over?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a lot better at saying no. You almost have to be, right? Decide what's important and attack what's important. And there's certainly things that you want to be able to do and do for people. You have to be able to have the ability to say no so you can focus on what's important.
I mean, I loved it. And he said, as a default, he just says no, like when he's feeling overwhelmed, everything's a no for like a week. And then he kind of catches his breath with it, because otherwise you're going to be talking, reading books to third grade classes and giving speeches and going to graduations and playing in golf tournaments when you're supposed to be doing your job. And I got to think there's part of that that nobody trains you for. Or did you have somebody as a mentor, maybe you saw head coaches do it, who said, hey, Dan, you're a head coach now. You're going to have to say no to people.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a really good team here that understands, hey, this is when there is availability for me, potentially, and it doesn't mean always, right? But, you know, May might be a month like that, you know, but there's time that I've cut out my calendar, and this is the calendar, and this is when there's an opportunity, and if it doesn't fall on that opportunity, then I'm probably a no-go, and I think that's important, right? Because you try to do everything, you're not going to do anything well.
You lose weight during the season. How are you feeling right now? Are you beefy right now? Where are you coming
out? I'm excited to lose some weight. I put on the coach's pants for a picture the other day, and I immediately walked into the equipment room and said, hey, guys, we're going to go ahead and have to bump that up a little bit. You'll save those. We'll be back, you know, in rare form here soon, but we're not there yet.
I
think I'm just getting old. I think that's what's happening. My metabolism, like, I'm not eating that much. Still not. I don't eat breakfast. I don't really eat lunch. I kind of have a shake, and for some reason, I'm still gaining weight. I think it's the late night snacks that are hitting me.
You gotta lay off the. What is your late night snack? What is your vice?
I like olives. I know that sounds weird, but it's not like olives are what's like packing on the weight.
Could be.
But Sophia gets me these little Lindsay like small pack of like black olives that I'm a big fan of. But I don't think it's that. It's probably like the bowl of cereal after that, or the ham sandwich that I can find in the fridge, or, you know, whatever else. Yeah, she's on this new kick, like no Red 40 in our house. Apparently, the Gatorade I drank my entire life as a kid is now bad for you, so we're not allowed to drink Red 40, which I miss that. But, like, that means, like, no fruit roll-ups, no gushers, like, which is good. I don't need that, right? But every once in a while, you just want to, you know, Red 40, right?
Like, yeah.
We don't have that right now. So I have to, like, sneak out if I'm going to go get some of that.
You're going to have it at the office and not say anything about it. By the end of the year, though, you probably drop, like, 20, 25 pounds, right, by the end of the season?
Yeah, generally. And I think last year I didn't lose as much weight. I don't know if it's, like, stress-induced or what. But I didn't shed quite as many pounds last year, so I'm hoping I kind of get back in routine and drop some. But yeah, I've definitely lost 25 pounds in a season before, so that'd be elite if I can lose 25 pounds. Minus the stress would be better if I can lose 25 pounds minus the stress.
It's not the ideal diet, right? If you're just stressed out and you're losing the weight, but you're like one of those bears that's about to hibernate right now, but you're not hibernating.
You're going into
your work schedule. All right, your defense. What are you looking for against Montana State on the defensive side of the ball? You're a defensive guy.
Yeah, for me, it'll always be stopping the run and preventing explosive plays. And, you know, last year we started off, well in the first game of the season, but you're going to see some stuff you don't recognize, and you're going to have to let your rules play out. And we were hurting a couple times last year in the first game on some trick plays, things like that. I want to see us eliminate those, right? Eliminate the tricks, be able to stop the run. That's really important. Tackle well and communicate. You know, I'm big. I always tell our players, I hope we have to change signals every single week because you guys are communicating so well on film. And if we do that, I'll be happy with the result.
All right. Dan Lanning, on your way. Have some Red 40 before you go home, and I will see you on Saturday. Good luck to you.
Appreciate you, brother. Have a great one.
All right. There he goes. Dan Lanning, Oregon football coach. No, I'm not going to ask him what play he's going to run on his first play from scrimmage. He's not going to tell us. He's going to give respect to his opponent because that's what you do. But I hope you learned something in that interview, a little bit about Dan Lanning, and I hope you connected with it. Steven, do you have a takeaway from our interview with Dan Lanning?
Yeah, my takeaway was that he said he has to sneak away to get cereal. How he said his wife gets him these olives, but he has to sneak away to get the cereal. I thought that was pretty interesting. Like he's one of us, you know. You gotta sneak away.
Dan Lanning, just like you.
Yeah, you know, mine's probably like for for a Reese's Pieces or something, but like his is a bowl of cereal. He's just trying to get a snack away and not have his wife judge him.
My grandfather and grandmother, before they passed away, may they rest in peace. My grandfather in his 90s, he had a thing for Reese's peanut butter cups. Okay, he loved a Reese's peanut butter cup. He bought like a whole kind of case of Reese's, and he like a pack of 24, and he put them in a trunk of his car. He drove a Buick Riviera. The garage was separate from the main residence, so they had a detached garage. My grandfather would often leave the house and go out to get something out of the trunk. I'm using air quotes here. And what he was getting out of the trunk was a Reese's peanut butter cup that my grandmother was being like, you know, you shouldn't be eating those. You're eating too many of those. You got to put them away. So Dan Lanning, just like the rest of us.
That happened with my wife's parents. So when we had kids, and then my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law had kids as well, you know, the kids would be over there at the grandparents' house playing, and they found their grandpa's secret stash of candy. Like, they found it, and then no one knew about it except for him. And so they had, like, you know, going through all the drawers, found that secret stash. We all got that stash of candy somewhere.
Big problems. Big problems. The other takeaway I have here is, you know, he's learned something, and I'm really into this. I geek out on this with younger head coaches, and he's hitting on something. Like, you know, when he got the job, he's 38 years old. He's the youngest head coach in college football. He was replaced by Kenny Dillingham with that title not very long after. But, you know, he learned how to be a head coach on the job, and he, of course, he had mentors. Of course, he worked for other head coaches and learned how they coached. But he has had to make adjustments. I have noticed a change in Dan Lanning, and it's not a bad one. I'm just seeing him mature as a head coach. I saw it with Chip Kelly. I told Chip Kelly after his second season, I said, you've figured out you don't need the local media guys. You're only kind of playing to the ESPN guys anymore. And he was like, what do you mean? Like, I still come on your show, whatever. I said, yeah, you come on my show. But I said, you stopped kind of taking care of your beat reporters in your own pool of reporters that cover your team. I can tell you're just kind of saying, hey, that's an area where I don't have to put in the time and the effort because why? Oregon was getting a bunch of national publicity. Lanning, to me, has figured out that he's got to say no to some things. And I think he's figured out that, you know, he can't make everybody happy. And no one, as much as they say, oh, you want to have someone on your staff who takes care of that stuff and weeds out what's important, what's not important. Some of that has just got to come from you. I have a friend, a good friend, who is a coach. I'm not going to say what sport he's in. It's not football. He's a coach, and he has made a big splash on social media. He's become big on Instagram and Facebook. He has more than 1 million followers, and what he does is he posts little clips of himself giving coaching points. Well, he encountered a problem because as he went out to coaches, youth sports camps and teams, and he went to other cities, he started getting mobbed at these tournaments and these games by people who wanted to take pictures with him, wanted autographs, wanted advice from him, wanted him to speak to their group. And he suddenly was not prepared for it because he didn't come up in that world. He was like, I don't know what to say no to. I'm overwhelmed by it. To the point where, like, he was struggling. And I said to him, just say no to everything. Start there. And then you can walk it back. Because he was like, what do you do when you get asked to speak to the Rotary Club and to the elementary school class and the high school class and the college class, and you have somebody asking you to mentor them, and, hey, can you read my writing? And, hey, can you listen to my demo tape of, you know, and tell me what I need to do? And, hey, can you connect me? Do you know anybody who's hiring at the Pac-12 Enterprises, or do you know anybody who's hiring at the local TV station? And suddenly you're like, hey, wait, I got to do a radio show. I got to write a column. I need to focus on my job. You have to draw boundaries. And I think Dan Lanning is drawing some boundaries now that he didn't before. He looked, at the end of last season to me, he looked wiped out. And I wondered if he would make changes. I think this offseason he did less.
It's the stress management, right? And I think he's learning about that. He talked about that. You know, maybe he gained the weight because the stress, whatever it was. But he's learning about it because he's in a situation where you're expected to win. And he knows it and he wants to win. He's going to do anything he can. But that is a stressful position to be in.
I don't ask for favors of anybody that I know is in that kind of position. I'm not just talking about coaches and, you know, talking about CEOs. I'm talking about people who are in these rough positions where they're just constantly being asked things. And, you know, if you have a friend who's the chief of police, you don't ask him, like, you know, can you come talk to my kid's elementary school? No, he's got to be the chief of police. Like, let him go do his job. You know, and so I think it's interesting to kind of watch. It's the evolution of leadership, more or less. All right, leave it here. We're going to talk about the games coming up this weekend, plus the big stories in sports. Steven's got the 5 at 5 coming up, and I'm all kinds of fired up about Nick Saban and everybody saying he should be the czar of college football. No, he shouldn't. I'll tell you why in the 5 o'clock hour.